Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Time for another new episode of the Sixth Man Podcast, talking about Canada's team, the Toronto Raptors. We'll recap what happened last week with the Raps. We'll also talk about Fred Van Fleet's naughty fine that he got. That's going to get interesting. Also, when do we start to discuss whether or not this team is better or worse with or without Pascal Siakam? We'll cover any rumors that are going around right now and the upcoming schedule. So let's get into it. Last week, the Raps only had three games. Feel like they had multiple days off. As a huge Raptors fan, there came a point where I felt like they hadn't played in a week. But anyways, they played on Wednesday last week against the Boston Celtics in Beantown, and Boston got their revenge for the first meeting. Boston won 104-88. Couple of bright spots for the Raptors. Scotty Barnes, 21 points. Precious Achiuwa, 9 rebounds. Scotty still statistically in the lead for Rookie of the Year. Just played fantastic. Couldn't get the W, though. Then, on the very next night, on Thursday, at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, PA, the town of brotherly love, the Raptors didn't show much love. They stuck to their guns. They played their style of game and pulled out a 115-109 victory over the 76ers. Scotty with 9 rebounds in that game, but Fred Van Vliet, the story of the game, with 32 points and 7 assists. That was a grind, man. That game was incredible. Now, they didn't have Joel Embiid. Okay, he was off, but so was Pascal Siakam. Didn't play on that back-to-back. And I actually, honestly, really, really like Tyrese Maxey for the 76ers. He was incredible. That guy is a baller, man. I love his game. Loved him when he played in Kentucky. He's just all over the place. He's got a little bit of everything. Goes to the hoop, can hit the jump shot, can hit the three. He was a real deal. He kept them in the game, Tyrese Maxey, fully. And then sometimes with the 76ers, I forget that Tobias Harris still plays for them. Like, he's eaten up, I think, around $30 million that are cap space. He is, he's always been a solid player. I think his best days were back in Orlando. I think he sort of gets lost in the shuffle with the 76ers, but he's still there. Tyrese Maxey really, really impressed me. And when there were a lot of rumors going around way back when Kyle was still with the team and they were talking about trading him back home to Philadelphia, Tyrese Maxey was a name that was getting mentioned. Matisse Thybulle. I'm kind of wishing now they got Maxey. I mean, he looks like a stud. That guy's a real baller, honestly. Really, really great game by him. But the Raptors got the victory, 115-109. Then go to Saturday, and what I'm going to say was probably one of the worst officiated games I have ever seen watching Raptors basketball now for 25-plus years. Like, it was unbelievable how bad the officiating was during that game against the Pistons. It was laughable. It was absolutely laughable. It reminded me of our championship run. Some of the games we had against the Golden State Warriors where it was just like, what the? You're just like so confused. Like, how are they making these calls? What? I know Kevin Durant is paying them under the, I don't know what's going on. Between Kevin and Steph and Draymond and Clay, somebody picked up a check or two. Like, what is going on here? Now, despite the loss on Saturday against the Pistons, Pascal Siakam, and that guy balled out. He was like all-star numbers. Led the team across the board. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Pascal got his, but we lost the game. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later as far as the effect Pascal's having since his return about November 7th when he went up against the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, leaves a lot to be imagined there. But let's talk about Fred Van Vliet. Fred Van Vliet unfortunately got fined for an obscene gesture last week during a game where he hit a big shot and was running down the court, trying to make this as family-friendly a show as possible. But Freddie, he was making a gesture, if you haven't seen it, where the technical term is testicles, were quite large. As soon as I saw it, I thought of Ishiro Tanaka making fun of Toronto in Major League 2.
You have no manners!
Manners?
Manners! You have no manners!
Hey, relax.
Marbles? Huevos?
Yeah, Freddie showing off the marbles. The marbles, yeah, big marbles on, on that play. And he got fined $15,000 for that obscene gesture. I guess you can't have guys doing that, but it was pretty funny to see nonetheless. Talk about an NFT that I want to own. That one's going to go for millions, Freddie doing that motion there. That was the game for Freddie against the 76ers that they won, but that was a lot. That was a pretty clutch play he made and decided to show off, something. $15,000 to you and I is like, holy cow, unbelievable. But I guess a drop in the bucket when you're talking about the millions and millions of dollars that they're making. Where does that money go, by the way? That's an investigative, that's a 2020 Dateline investigative thing I want to figure out is when the players get fined, where does it go? Just back to the league or does it go to charity or what? I don't know. Well, I'll find that out and I'll get you that answer. But Freddie was feeling good. I don't mind. I actually love to see Freddie fired up because I think he took a lot of his composure and his demeanor from when Kawhi was here. You know, he's always been a bit of the silent type, but I think Kawhi really gave him a shot in the arm to be that sort of humble, all business sort of look on his face. So when he goes off a little bit like that, I actually don't mind. I think it's hilarious. I think it's fun. Go, Freddie, go. Saturday, yeah, the loss against the Pistons. That was a bit of a downer for sure, but Pascal Siakam with big, big numbers. So I got to ask the question on the episode today. Pascal has come back, and every game that he's played so far, he's played in 3 out of 4. Every game he's played so far, we've lost, right? We won one game out of the past week. Well, when he came back against Brooklyn, lost. Wednesday, lost. Thursday, he didn't play because it was a back-to-back. We won. Then the next game, we lost. And oh, by the way, against the 76ers, we had a better game, more shots for Scottie Barnes, played well. Saturday against the Pistons, he gets his stats. We still lose the game. Does this team play better team basketball without Pascal Siakam? I have to tell you that so far, the optics are a couple of things. Scottie Barnes is an absolute home run. But the difference between Scottie and Pascal already is that Scottie will pass the ball. He will make his teammates around him better. Now, I know what you're saying. Dave, you just said he almost had a triple-double. He had 7 assists. So he was sharing the ball, and it's not all on his shoulders or necessarily his fault. But you get those kind of numbers. Everybody else went down. There's a difference. You can't tell me there isn't a difference when every game that Pascal has played in since he came back, he has lost. We have lost as a team. Very interesting. Very interesting. At what point do you just stick Scottie at power forward, trade Pascal, get some more assets, and move along? Here's my long shot prediction. You ready for this? Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. I'm going to make a long shot prediction. I think that it's going to be uncovered that we are going to be better without Pascal. And I think Pascal will then end up being a pretty big trade chip for us and look to get some assets. What do I think we could do with that? Here's a real cart before the horse moment. You ready for this? I'm going to mark this down. We're going to mark down this episode, and I'm going to go back to it and admit if I was right or wrong come next year. What if you take Pascal, right? You got Scottie already. I think we're going to play out the season unless an insane offer is made, and Pascal could hypothetically go at the trade deadline. Who knows? But we play out this season, and then maybe, because I don't think we're going to be picking number 4 or in the top 5 in the draft next year. Maybe you use Pascal and your first round pick there, maybe if who knows, to move up and nab the next Canadian basketball icon, Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon Sharpe, remember the name. He is an admitted one and done at Kentucky this year. He is entering the next year's draft. This kid is an absolute baller. Plays shooting guard, by the way. He's a real shooter. Well, paired up with Scottie Barnes, that would look pretty good. I know. I don't normally do this as far as making such crazy, outlandish, so future ahead, draft related, pick related, assumptions. But I mean, Pascal's going to get you a boatload, right? Who could be up there and possibly attached to getting a player like that? Bring that Canadian, that young Canadian star to be into the fold and let him flourish here with such a great surrounding cast like Scottie and Fred and OG. I mean, that would be pretty cool, man. That would be pretty cool. I want this kid, Shaedon Sharpe, not just because he's from my hometown in London, Ontario. And oh, by the way, I have contact with Shaedon Sharpe, and we're looking to have him as a guest on the show coming up. I won't get him in trouble with any talk about Jordan the Raptors, but that's just a prediction that I have that could happen because I strongly feel already that this team is better suited by having Fred. You got Gary, Fred at point, Gary at shooting guard. You've got OG at small forward or power forward, and then Scotty at that other spot, wherever you want to intermix him, that's fine. And then a center. I like what Ken Birch is doing. I don't think they're going to give up on Precious anytime soon, but I definitely don't like Pascal at the five. He's got to play one of those three or four spots, but you got OG and Scotty there. It's too great a fit. OG leading the team in scoring right now. He's not going to get moved. Scotty, we all love. I think Pascal is ultimately going to be the odd man out. So if that's the case, which, hey, would I love the team to create incredible symmetry with Pascal and win and be in the conference final this year trying to go to the NBA finals? Of course I would. That's always what I'd rather have happen. But this is the fun part about being a fan, is speculating. All right? Would I bet my kids' college education that we'll be there this season? I don't think I could do that. I think we are in a bit of a retool or an interesting rebuild phase, if you want to call it that. So you got to look at Pascal, and if we aren't winning games with him in the lineup, then what can you get for him? You could get some real assets. Let's not fool ourselves. But do you do it in season or do you wait to the off season? Is he more attractive when he'd only have 2 more years left on his deal after this year rather than 3 years and tying yourself down? And what if we, you know, team X gets him, and then what if he's inconsistent with us and then we have to sit on that contract for 3 years? Maybe better suited in the off season. Maybe at the draft. Who knows? It's going to be fun to see. I don't know, but... I think the numbers and the records speak for themselves. Pascal has played 3 out of the last 4 games, and we've lost all 3, and the game he didn't play, we won. I'm sorry, Pascal. I love you. I think it's nothing personal, bud. It's nothing personal, but maybe he would flourish in a better or different environment, because we've got to think long-term, man. That's what we got to think long-term. I am dying to see this team be a powerhouse for years to come in a row, not just a one-and-done. I appreciate we got our championship, and that was fantastic, but you know, I want to be like that every single year. So let's get those tools and build now, because the worst thing you can be, and not just in the NBA, but in professional sports in general, the worst thing you can be is a treadmill team, okay? Just good enough to squeak into the playoffs, that 7th or 8th seed and out in the first round, and then the 13th, 14th, 15th pick in the draft. Who knows? You're just nothing worse than being a treadmill team. That's not what I want either. So let's build within. Let's create this great team. We've got a great environment. We got a great coach. We got a great organization. Someone's not cutting it, man. And you know what? Masai and Bobby will do it. Look at DeMar. I'm sorry. Love him too. Great human being. But you got to make the moves when you got to make the moves. What do you think will happen? Do you think this team is better suited with or without Pascal Siakam? Make sure you let me know on our Twitter and our Instagram. We'll be asking that question and see what the people think. Let's talk a little bit of a quick player update. There are rumors out there that Yuta Watanabe will be ready to go and make his first appearance of the season. Could be by the end of this week. So good news from Nick Nurse. He said that just the other day. Hopes to have him back by the end of next week or the start of next week. Get our first glimpse at Yuta on this NBA season. As far as the rumor mill is going on right now for the Raptors, not much. There's just a lot of speculative stuff out there about some trades that teams could take. Nothing with any substance or anything like that, but we're always keeping our eye on the Goran Dragic situation. There are teams that want him. There's speculation out there, but nothing solid, like I said. So we're keeping an eye. I think Goran is definitely going to get traded sooner rather than later. I thought he would last with us until the trade deadline, but he's sitting there on the bench wasting away and eating up $19 million of our cap space. I would have rather got rid of him and kept Sam Decker at this point. So I think it's going to happen well before the trade deadline, but you don't want to act desperate. I think we know he wants to go to Dallas and be paired up with his best friend, Luka Doncic. Who wouldn't? And I think what the Raptors really want and could really use is Dwight Powell. Take that Canadian big man off their hands. I've said it before, but he's balling out right now so far this year. So I doubt Dallas is going to give him up for a guy in his mid-30s on an expiring deal. That's probably a steep asking price. They might have to attach something else to sweeten that deal and get a Dwight Powell, because I think we could definitely use him. I like our length. I like what we're doing. But at the end of the day, when you're going up against the monsters like Joel Embiid even Giannis to a certain point, but some of the other big centers out there, I mean, we got absolutely manhandled by Christian Wood when we played the Rockets as well. So we need somebody like with that size and length. And Dwight Powell would be a great fit. Canadian guy. I would love to have him on this team. So we'll keep our eye on that. But Goran likely to go. Yuta coming back. And we'll see what happens with Pascal. I think the Pascal rumors are going to exist all season long. But it's just really trade machines on the internet right now that are slapping things together and have absolutely no substance. So we'll keep our eye on that, though, like I said. This week, this schedule here, well, it's going to be an interesting one tonight as the Raptors are going to be shorthanded. The Raps game tonight against the red-hot Portland Trail Blazers. It looks like the Raptors could be without Fred VanVleet, Chris Boucher, and Precious Achiuwa. Eesh. It's going to be some extended playing time for somebody. We'll see how that goes. Monday night, that's who they're playing, Trailblazers. Then on Thursday, they're taking on the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. Friday against the Sacramento Kings. Should be a W there, but they got a lot of talent on that team. I just don't know what they're missing. Could be coaching, Luke Walton. I don't know, but a lot of talent on that team. But the whole Marvin Bagley situation with refusing to go into games, a lot of dissension in that team right now. I don't think they're really hurting for talent. They should be better than they are. And then on Sunday, going up against another red-hot team, the Golden State Warriors. That'll be in San Francisco. So we'll cover off this week. Next week on Monday, see how they do and fare on this West Coast trip for your favorite team, Canada's team, the Toronto Raptors. Till next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.